You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, Corey LaJoy, Matt Hardy, all here on the program with you. Some of us contributing more than others. Zoe and I putting in a heck of a lot more than Corey LaJoy and Matt Hardy, but we have had them contribute to the show. Buddies of the show. Amigo. Guy. We've got so many things to get to. Coming up in the show today, we have got an NHL Eastern Conference Finals preview. The Florida Panthers knocked off the Toronto Maple Leafs in 7. The Carolina Hurricanes got through as well. The Canes are the 2 seed, Florida the 3 seed in the East. So the Canes will host the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 1 tonight in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you heard me shouting unnecessarily in the background of Lonzo's sports flash there, I think I am talking myself into, if this series goes to 7, I have not been to a Carolina Hurricanes game yet. It's 8 hours away, right? It's not like a hop, skip, and a jump. That's a we're going to Raleigh for the weekend to check out the area, and we're centering it around a hockey game. I've not been to Raleigh. However, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I love the absolute energy, excitement, enthusiasm that some of these hockey barns around the South are bringing right now. Dallas, Nashville, Raleigh specifically. Well, the Carolina Hurricanes were kind of one of the foundational members of that. They came around after, say, Tampa, but there was a joke for a very long time. Before Tampa got good, there was a joke for a very long time around Tampa that, you know, you could go down to Tampa, and if you wanted to go to a Lightning game, just wait until puck hit ice and pick up one of the tickets that was on the ground outside. There wasn't much to it. Then they won a Stanley Cup, obviously. That kind of changed everything. And I do credit them because I do think that was the point where folks around the South kind of started to be like, oh, we can be good at this? Well, if we're good at it, I'm going to be in. Nashville has made deep playoff runs. Carolina has made a number of deep playoff runs. Florida's won a cup. Tampa's won a cup. Teams around the South have done exceptionally well. Dallas, the Stars, have been good for a very long time. And because of all those things, hockey has 1,000% become a sport that the South has embraced. Why is it that college football is the king in the South? A, regionalism, and B, because for as long as college football has existed, the South's been a powerhouse. Not won a championship every year, but the South has been a powerhouse. It has been a center, not the, but fake, a center of college
news.
Football.
Fake
it's
news.
Not fake news.
It's fake news.
It's not fake
college
news.
College football is king wherever it's at. Stop with your regionalism. I get we live in the South, but, I mean, come on. It's stop.
No, in big cities, the NFL is king. And in states that have
big
cities.
Big city. It's not, I mean, NFL.
Is Columbus an NFL town, or is it a town where there is literally a major college? Literally built around a college.
Yeah, but I guess football doesn't mean the same there.
Well, in the South, it just means more.
No. Well, only in the Southeast.
I've seen that in a commercial before. However, I do think a lot of
regionalism might as well be globalism.
No, I mean, tribalism is a thing, without a doubt. That's why we have a word for it.
As you're proving, your Southern tribe.
I also think...
South has better football. No, it doesn't.
I didn't say it has better football. That's not what I said.
It's not bigger in the South. It doesn't mean more in the South.
It does not. It is.
It doesn't.
As somebody who's been all the places,
yeah, okay.
It is.
Whatever, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not. It's not.
All right. Well, for sake of argument.
Football is king everywhere.
I didn't say football. I said college football. Mm-hmm. Football is absolutely king everywhere. But different levels of it are bigger in certain places than in others. In Cleveland, Ohio, the Browns are the biggest thing going.
No, they're
not. They've been asked for years.
No, they're not.
So, now, all of that being said, I do think that all of us as American citizens, we talked about this with the flag football conversation in the last segment, all of us will get on board and make something that we are really good at our thing, right? Like, we'll make it our thing. And I say this with all the respect because I'm a big fan. I believe that I am probably the biggest advocate, supporter of, and fan of women's basketball on this or any other sports talk station in the area, right? But the reason South Carolina Gamecock women's basketball is as big as it is because they've been kicking ass for the entire Dawn Staley regime. If you look at other schools that have the same resources, not the same skill of players, but have the same resources, the same background, whatever, women's college basketball may be big at a lot of them, but it's not as big as it is at Iowa. It's not as big as it is at South Carolina. It's not as big as it is at Penn State. At UConn. And the reason is because those teams have been killing everybody for so long.
You should go to
Raleigh. That's their thing.
You should go to Raleigh, by the way. You've been saying that you were going to go to Raleigh since you've been here. You should go.
Lonzo just wants a day off because he knows I'm taking 2 days to do it.
No.
And he's correct.
I was just bringing it back to where we were.
I was getting there. Yeah, so, okay.
I'm told on the stream that there's a big mall there, and you can ride down the road to the Andy Griffith Museum. Who doesn't want to go there?
I can't whistle. I wish I could whistle because then I could do the theme song right here, but I can't. So just pretend that I did.
Might be a selling point for the wife to go. I mean, you know, she's probably already been though.
I doubt it. I don't know that she's been to Raleigh. I'm certainly going to ask. She's listening right now. She may very well text and let me know. That being said, I really want to go to, even if it's, the goal is to, within the next year, and I say this every year and I still haven't done it, but the goal is within the next year, I want to go to Cameron Indoor for a game. I want to go to Chapel Hill for a game, basketball. I would go up for a football game, but I want to go to a basketball game at Chapel Hill. I want to go to a game at Duke, and I want to go to a Hurricanes game. Now, I got to pick, right? I can't do them all at the same time. I could go to an NHL regular season game and do a college basketball weekend if they line up scheduling-wise, but blah, 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 blah. Want to go up to Raleigh because everyone that is a hockey guy has talked about how absolutely electric the environment in Raleigh is. If this series goes to 7 games, I don't know what a ticket to that game is going to be. I will put in for a press pass for that game. Probably not going to get it because it is the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals. Probably not going to get it because the national outlets are going to get priority, but I will put in for a media pass. I will tell you that there's a better than good chance that I will put in for a game 5 if it goes to 5, which it's going to go to 5. This is going 7. These two teams are similar, not identical, but similar in the electricity, in the talent. Florida's a lot more physical. Carolina's a lot faster. We'll see how that plays out. But game 5 would be next Wednesday, the 28th. I would very much consider putting in for a press pass for the game for game five on the 28th, driving up there, going to that game, getting a hotel room, and doing the show live remote from Raleigh on Thursday from a hotel room somewhere to go. Because I've got to get to Raleigh. Why not go with this series? A series where these two teams have been meeting up in the Eastern Conference playoffs for a number of years now. There is a bit of a, I'm not going to say it's a rivalry, but there's a bit of a mini rivalry brewing between Florida and Carolina.
I just looked up on StubHub tickets for tonight.
For tonight, let me guess. I'm going to say cheapest you're getting in the door is $500.
No, you're wrong.
Lower? Higher?
$134.
Get out. Really?
Yeah.
And, wow.
There's a couple more that are like $139. So, yeah, there are sections. I'm trying to look to see what's the most expensive one still available.
I'm going to say that's going to be north of $2,000.
No. It's still hockey, dude.
I'm not disagreeing with you. And on top of that, I looked it up the other day.
There's one for $345.
Okay. The population of Raleigh, North Carolina is only like 400,000 people, right? Like, it's not a metropolis. That's a healthy amount of people. But that's the entire Raleigh metro, which from my understanding is relatively spread out. It does include NC State, UNC, and Duke. So a solid percentage of that population are people that are at or employed by the campus and probably aren't necessarily the hockey demo / going to a bunch of games. So I do, if this was the exact same teams, but this was the Dallas.
All right, so I did look up the tickets for the 28th that you're talking about, and those are more expensive. But the cheapest one looks like it's about $220. So that's
I'd pay for that. I'd pay that. Yeah, I'd pay that to go to the game. To go to a game five, which probably won't be, but could theoretically.
It's probably one of those things that it'd probably be best to buy it now, though, because by the time it
100%.
If it gets to that, it'd probably be more.
100%. Because and I do think, you know how we've talked a couple of times about the about like with playoff tickets versus conference championship games, how you're probably less likely to see people spending money on a conference championship game ticket, because if you're working with limited resources, you may want to save up to be able to go to a playoff game, right? Especially if your team's going to be playing either somewhere close to you in their playoff game or somewhere that is a destination, right? Clemson gets sent to Los Angeles, California. Maybe there's some of y'all that go, you know what? GSP flies direct to LAX, so I'm just going to get a cheap flight, and I'm going to go see a playoff game at the Coliseum instead of going to Charlotte and Bank of America to watch us play for an event that doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. If you're a hockey fan and you got a choice between buying a ticket for game one, which this may shock you, nobody can get eliminated, or buying a hockey ticket for game five, in which case maybe one of those two teams is facing elimination in a gentleman's sweep, or game seven, which right now doesn't exist. But if you have a ticket to a game seven, that's the most exciting thing in the Stanley Cup. I will probably gamble the money there being a game five.
It's a gamble, period, thinking that they're going to be that you're going to get that many games.
Right.
So if you really just want to go to a playoff game, the best bet would be to go tonight. But, you know.
Yeah, go game one because you know it's happening.
Yeah.
Now, again, there's zero chance, there's not a snowball's chance in Hades that this thing's not going to at least game five. I don't know if it's going to seven. I'd be willing to bet it was. I would roll the dice on putting $400 down for a game seven ticket today and hope it goes seven and get my money back if it doesn't, but also not go to a game, than buy a $200 ticket to go see game one. I'd rather roll the dice that it's going to go seven and be there for that. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. We'll talk more about that. Going to do a preview of this series a little bit later on in the show, but we're a little bit late, so let's very quickly do this thing we do here. Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you're going to be talking about very quickly. Item number one. I don't care if you don't think that this is a story worthy of being included in the water cooler cheat sheet. I am including it anyway. Adam Schefter reporting this morning, less than an hour ago, that at the owners' meetings of the National Football League coming up today in Minneapolis, Minnesota, he believes the NFL owners will vote to approve a proposal that will allow NFL players to participate in and represent Team USA in the first ever Olympic flag football competition set for 2028 in Los Angeles, California. He said that sources are telling him that the owners have been pretty open to this being a yes, and that he expects that this will be an easy vote to pass today. There is another side of the discussion that we had about this earlier in the show, great one, and that is the fact that this is still 3 years away, right? Like, there's a lot of time for NFL teams just to prove it now, give 3 years to talk about it, to think about it, to kind of decide your strategy and approach, to decide what's the highest caliber player you are willing to let go, to find out what players may be interested in going. Hell, some of the guys that we have brought up for discussion, guys like Kyler Murray, theoretically might not be in the league 3 years from now.
I was going to say, not only that, but there are some retired players that maybe have just recently retired that may want to go play.
So we will see how that shapes up. And if that vote is approved today, then those teams will have 3 years to decide what their strategy, if any, is for who they decide to allow to participate, who they will bar, or really, I guess in this case, probably just ask not to participate. We will find out. There is one more proposal on the table for the owners' meetings today. The Green Bay Packers have amended the proposal for the banning of the tush push. Under the old rule proposal, the rule was going to be that immediately after the snap, no player could physically assist the ball carrier. Under the new proposal, the immediately after the snap language is gone, meaning that whatever rule is approved would be for the duration of an offensive play. And instead of immediately assisting the ball carrier, the new proposal states assisting the ball carrier in any way that is not blocking a defender. So now you cannot do anything under this new rules proposal. It is effectively a bush push, a USC bush push rule. You cannot assist the player. So this would include, say, runs off the outside. If your running back gets to the outside and he gets stacked up by two defenders, you no longer can block into his back and push him through a pile.
So what they're doing is they're proposing going back to what it was in the NFL for the majority of the time the NFL has been around.
No.
Yeah,
worse.
Because remember, we checked, this rule is not assisting a ball carrier is only been around for like, I don't know, six,
correct,
7 years or something like,
correct,
that.
Correct. At the line. That's kind of the distinguishing factor here. This rule, my interpretation of this rule as written, as somebody who's big into language and semantics and words meaning what they say, this would say immediately after the snap language is gone, which means that any part of a play. So Patrick Mahomes hands it to Rashee Rice. He jets off the right-hand side. He gets to the outside, and he meets two cornerbacks. And here comes Travis Kelce. According to the rule as written and proposed that will be voted on at these owners' meetings, if it passes, Travis Kelce could not jump into the back of Rashee Rice with a shoulder and help push him forward.
Yeah, see,
All he can do is hit one of the outside players.
I'm okay with that. I think they should go back to that. That's how it used to be, and I don't have a problem with it.
It is going to change the way that outside football works. Scrums aren't going to be a thing anymore.
It's going to move it back to how it used to be.
And maybe
sometimes how it used to be is okay.
Yeah, but sometimes how it used to be isn't. So I'm interested to see how this shapes up. We'll talk more about this a little bit later on in the show. Let us jump to item numero dos. Don't need to spend a ton of time on this. Well, because we kind of already did. The Carolina Hurricanes will open the Eastern Conference half of the conference finals of Lord Stanley's Cup this evening. The Canes will host Florida in games 1 and 2. Game 1 tonight at 8 p.m. on TNT. Game 2 will be Thursday on TNT, also at 8 o'clock. Game 3 at Florida on TNT. That will be Saturday. Game 4 is Monday. Game 5, should it be necessary, will be on Wednesday. And then Game 6 on Friday. Game 7 on Sunday of next week, if necessary. Over on the other side, the Western Conference of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Edmonton and Dallas, the Stars, will host this finals of the Western Conference. Their opening game is tomorrow. We will alternate days all the way through. So East tonight, West tomorrow, East Thursday, West Friday, East Saturday. I'll tell you this. There has been a conversation over in the National Basketball Association, and I do not remember which player it was that brought it up the other day, but one of the players was making the argument that the NBA, and I think it was because of the Nuggets, because the Nuggets played effectively a game every other day for like 12 straight days. They play more games in a two-week span than any other team in the playoffs, and there were some scheduling reasons for that, stadium availability, whatever, but made the argument that the NBA playoffs should be every other day at one stadium, travel day plus a rest day when you change venues. Hockey said, bleep that. We're doing it every other day, including your travel days. Get it together, boys. We'll talk some more Stanley Cup playoffs a little bit later on in the show. Let's get to item number three. There are two items that could go here. One of them we got to earlier in the show, Spencer Strider making his return for the Atlanta Braves. He will be on the bump tonight when the Bravos are at the Washington Nationals. We'll have a full breakdown of that game for you on tomorrow's show, but I'm not going to make that item number three. Instead, I'm going to make this item number three. We had already heard this story not terribly long ago, but now we have a couple of updates on it. One of those updates that we have, Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports is reporting that there is a document being circulated right now amongst high-ranking officials of the Power Four conferences, the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, and the SEC. Dellinger says that, according to sources, this document being circulated to officials from the Power Four conferences would be an agreement between the conferences and the schools within them that they will adhere to the regulations and rules of whatever the governing agency created by the House v. NCAA settlement is. They will adhere to those regulations even when state law is contradictory to them. So, basically, and we'll see if this is a power move, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment. Basically, this document says the conferences sign it, the member institutions agree. We will adhere to whatever this NCAA new governing agency says as far as NIL, as far as transfer portal, as far as revenue splitting, etc., even if our state gives us permission to act more liberally. We will adhere to what the agency is. Is this a step in the direction of the power conferences making a move to create nationwide regulation and forcing the individual schools to adhere to them under punishment of? I'll tell you when we come back. Oh, juicy. Stick around. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Ross Dellinger has an article that he dropped last night at about 9 p.m. It is very interesting. There is a Senate bill in Tennessee that is going to be signed, actually was signed, pardon me, by the governor, Bill Lee. Senate Bill 536 paves the way, according to Dellinger, for state schools. That includes the University of Tennessee. That includes Vanderbilt. That includes Memphis, et cetera, et cetera. Their affiliated collectives would be, under Tennessee state law, permitted to break house settlement-related rules and prevent college sports' new enforcement entity, whatever it is when it emerges from the house settlement, from penalizing those schools. Dellinger says, in layman's terms, quote, the law is a launched missile towards plans from the NCAA and power conferences to police the revenue-sharing era of college sports, taking aim at the athlete compensation cap, the severe penalties for rule breakers, and the policies that prevent phony booster-backed name, image, and likeness deals to players. So Tennessee, via their state government, was effectively going to say, our schools do not have to follow the rules and regulations laid forth by the house settlement, whatever they turn out to be, and do not have to adhere to whatever discipline is suggested, administered, whatever, by whatever the new governing agency of the NCAA that oversees all of this is going to ultimately be. They are protected from that. They can act under our laws, our rules, our regulations, and do so at will. Obviously, that would create a massive problem for everybody else in those conferences. That would be, obviously, the SEC, the ACC, just any conference that has a school in Tennessee. Every other school in every other state in that conference that does not have a state legislature that decides to actively engage and pass laws like Tennessee's state legislature is doing right now would be at a distinct disadvantage because those schools would be obligated to follow the law of the NCAA's new governing agency or disciplinary agency. And if that turned out to be the case, if you're South Carolina and South Carolina's state legislature does not give the same permissions, the same fluidity to its state schools that Tennessee does, by default, South Carolina will be at a distinct disadvantage to the University of Tennessee, a clear and obvious one, which would mean that there are two options. Either the state legislature looks at that and they go, we don't care, and the schools have to play the ball the way the ball is set to be played, or those state legislatures all have to go, well, the only way that we know that South Carolina is going to be able to keep up with Tennessee is if we enact the same rules. And that's what, then guess what happens? Georgia does it. Florida does it. North Carolina does it. And we get to a point where, courtesy of this decision, the NCAA's new governing agency has no agency. They have no ability to do anything, to legislate, to discipline it, to punish, which means that there's no rules for all of the people who have been yelling, screaming, hooting, and hollering and being angry at the Wild West vibe of college sports. You now should, in my ever so humble opinion, be directing that ire at state legislatures who say, yeah, we don't care about your NCAA governing agency. We don't care about your NCAA governing rules and regulations. We give full carte blanche to our teams to do whatever the hell that they want, because they are going to strong arm your state into doing the same thing. Now, in order to combat that, whether it works or not, we will see. We're going to talk about it in this segment and honestly, the next one as well. According to Dellinger, officials from the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, and ACC are circulating a draft of a first-of-its-kind document intended to prevent universities from using their state laws to violate new enforcement rules, and in what Dellinger labels as a stunning concept, requires member institutions to waive their right to pursue legal challenges against the new enforcement entity, the College Sports Commission. The document, according to Dellinger, has been viewed by dozens of leading school administrators and would bind institutions to the enforcement policies even if their state law is contradictory, and would exempt the CSC, College Sports Committee, from lawsuits from member schools over enforcement decisions, offering instead a route for schools to pursue arbitration. The document, described as an affiliation or members agreement, is not finalized, but a draft of the contract has been distributed to several school presidents, general counsels, and athletic directors, many of whom have expressed legal concerns with several of the document's concepts, which are being refined currently. The document is meant to be signed by all Power Conference schools, perhaps as well as others opting into the settlement, as a way to bind the group and provide stability across the enforcement of rules. That includes, most notably, decisions from the now new NIL clearinghouse, dubbed NIL Go, an entity expected to more strictly enforce booster pay across the entire NCAA. The consequence for not signing the agreement? A school risk the loss of conference membership and participation against other Power League programs. One AD said, quote, "You have to sign it or we don't play you," end quote. Let's talk about this in detail and what it might mean for the future of college football when we come back. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you on the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
The document Ross Dellinger reporting on, being circulated amongst conference officials and school officials right now, including athletic directors, if signed by the conferences and by the schools, would basically create a way for the conferences to say, you are going to, if you wish to remain in our conference, you are going to play by the rules that are put into place by and enforced by the new College Sports Commission. This is not Donald Trump's commission. This will be an NCAA commission. Donald Trump's commission would operate separately if it comes to be. But basically it says if you want to stay in our power conference, you are going to play by the rules that are established, created, and enforced by this new College Sports Commission. And if you are unwilling to do that, you risk expulsion from the Power Four conference that you are in. Now, this is going to be, I think, the next few days as this thing picks up traction, as this thing is distributed, as it is amended, as Ross Dellinger is saying, is the discussion right now behind the scenes. A number of schools have expressed legal concerns about the document. Is it legal in and of itself? Is it something that could be challenged by a school as potentially being an antitrust violation, right? You're effectively working on creating a monopoly of college football because there's nowhere else for us to play. We could all go independent, but we can't survive that way. Unless you're Notre Dame or a military academy that gets government funding to stay afloat, we can't survive this way.
What's a violation? Give me an example, because I'm having a hard time understanding this. What's a violation? So what would get a team in trouble?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. That's a lawyer question. What would be an antitrust violation? So antitrust rules, laws, are put into place in order to prevent monopolies from forming in any given industry, right? Like there are rules and guidelines, say, and I don't know why this example came to the front of my mind, but say for air travel, right? There are antitrust laws in place that say that financially speaking or whatever, airlines are not allowed to do this thing. Because if they do this thing, so a collusion is an antitrust exemption, right? Or an antitrust law. Airlines could, because there are only, what, four major airlines across the United States. Airlines could theoretically send their five CEOs, four CEOs, whatever it is, to a group retreat in Bali. And they could all say, all right, new rule, none of us are going to charge less than $100 for a passenger to check a bag. And if all five of them were to agree to that, and all five airlines all at the same time put into place a $100 checked bag fee, then we as passengers, we don't have any ability to do anything about it. Effectively, antitrust laws are put into place to demand competition in pricing and availability across a particular industry. We want, that's not to say that they all work, but the spirit of antitrust laws is to mandate competition across an industry so that we as consumers are provided a fair market price driven to its market by competition between competitors. Now, when you start talking about, say, the airline industry, again, there's only four of them. And if one of them raises their checked bag rate by $25 and they do not see a drop in business because people go, oh, you were charging me $75, now you're charging me $100 to check a bag, I'm going to go to Southwest.
Okay, I'm still just a little lost. So let's say that South Carolina is playing Tennessee and the law's in place in Tennessee. What would South Carolina have to do to be in trouble?
Again, I don't know. Like that, we can
sit
here.
It just sounds like a bunch of lawyers speak without repercussions or telling us exactly what it does.
Let me get to the heart of the story then. Let me get to, because I think this is where, it's not so much what South Carolina would do to get in trouble. It's what Tennessee, under the state law, can do that South Carolina cannot do, right? So let's say that the commission comes down and they hand down a new NIL regulation. Right? NIL regulation says that. And I'm fantasy booking here, so stick with me. I'm making this up. It's a hypothetical. But the new College Sports Commission comes up with a new NIL law that says, in order for an entity outside of the school's revenue sharing, which is that 22 whatever million dollar cap, NIL outside payments will still be allowed, right? A business can still go or a collective can still go and say, all right, you got this much in revenue sharing and we're going to give you this much in NIL. If the state, if the NIL commission from the NCAA, this new commission, was to come down and they were to say, all right, in order for a collective to exist and work with a school, which they must do, they have to be... they have to have this license, and they have to go through this many hoops, and they got to do this many things, whatever. And every school agrees to that. But the state of Tennessee passes a law that says, nope, not in our state. In our state, they don't have to do that. And the state law says that they just have to do these things. And those things are much more flexible, but that's the state law. That school can then go to the commission and go, actually, even though we're not following your guidelines, we have to do this by state law or we don't get state funds, right? So we have to do it. Even though it's obviously very beneficial to the school, we have to do these things that our state law has codified. And in doing those things, they gain an advantage because South Carolina is still obligated to follow the College Sports Commission rules, and Tennessee is saying, our laws, our state laws supersede us from following your rules. We have to follow theirs or else we don't get to play, we don't get to have a school anymore. South Carolina goes, we can't compete with that, right? We can't compete with that. So what this document, according to Dellinger, is set to do is create an agreement amongst the Power Four conferences, and we'll see if some of the smaller conferences ultimately get in on this or not, but amongst the Power Four conferences, where the money is in college football, amongst the Power Four colleges, Power Four conferences, we all agree that even with our state laws being contradictory, we agree that we are going to follow this. I will say again beforehand, as with everything that is going to happen for a very long time in terms of any changes outside of the House settlement, everything is going to be challenged legally, like a lot, like big time. Like, I would not be shocked if, I know I just said like three times, but I'm putting multiple sentences together. Stick with me. everything is going to be challenged to a point that I would not be shocked if sometime within the next decade or so, one of these challenges, because it is such a convoluted conversation about a multi-billion dollar industry, I would be not shocked if at some point in the next decade, one of the legal challenges to the House settlement, to the College Sports Commission, to the NCAA, to all these different things that are going on right now, was to potentially make it up to the Supreme Court, to get to the highest court in the land to issue a final ruling on what this can look like. But because I will say, what I don't know is the example that I just gave you. If the University of Tennessee, because the SEC says, hey, yo, sign this or you're out of the conference. Well, if you're Tennessee, you can't leave the SEC. You're getting paid $110+ million a year. ACC schools are getting $45 million. You're getting $110+. And that number's going up next year. So you can't walk away from $110 million. You got to sign this thing. If at its purest, it really is, sign it or you're out of the conference. If the SEC, if Greg Sankey calls him and goes, look, you got to sign it or you're out. We'll replace you with somebody, right? Somebody's going to want in. If that happens, I suspect the state of Tennessee will legally challenge this in a federal court. We'll say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Why is it that this college sports governing entity, which has no legislative or governmental power, can make us adhere to make our state's schools adhere to its laws at the cost of ignoring ours, right? Again, this is only going to be if Tennessee was to enact a law that says a college must do this. And then they say something like if I was to say to Lonzo, so in order to remain the co-host on this radio program, you must go home and play 2 hours of video games today. Zo would be like, oh no, what a tough rule you've put into place on me. How will I ever survive it?
Only 2 hours? There's a restriction?
Right. Minimum 2 hours. Zo's going to go, oh, tough rule. Tough rule, but you know what? I think I want to be a part of this show so much I'll adhere to it, right? That's not a rule. That's a benefit disguised as a law. That if Tennessee,
it also would be hard to be enforced because they would have to be in my home and know if I was.
Sure. The breakdown of the hypothetical is it's a benefit disguised as a rule, right? Now, again, that is part. In fairness, your analogy addition there is absolutely part of all of this because the NCAA will have governmental oversight over the schools under the College Football Commission, but how much will they have in terms of ability to track, ability to keep an eye on, ability to enforce, et cetera? Kind of like that. I can take Zoe's word for it that he's going to go home and play his 2 hours of Rob Brown Show mandated video gaming, but I can't prove that he did it. And if he didn't, I can't do anything to punish him for it, right? Because I can't prove that he didn't. So if Tennessee was to pass a law that is the college football equivalent of Zoe must go home and play 2 hours of video games tonight in order to remain on the show. If they pass a law that's a benefit disguised as a law, and it contradicts a rule put down by the new College Sports Commission, the governing agency of the college football landscape, then Tennessee obviously is going to challenge that. And they're going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. No agency that is effectively a business has the right to step in and tell our state schools that they have to go against our state laws, especially the public schools, that they have to go against our state laws in order to play under their rules if they are contradictory. Meaning that Tennessee says by law you have to do this thing, and this commission says by our rules you can't do that thing. The state of Tennessee is going to say legislatively, under our state legislature, under our state law, Tennessee is mandated to do it. Vanderbilt, Memphis, they are mandated to do this thing. And now you're telling them they actively cannot do that thing. That's going to be challenged. But the premise of all of this is the four power conferences working in conglomeration with each other to create the one thing that all of us have been asking for, which is, honestly, don't even care what the rules are. Just have a blanket set of rules that everybody must play under. Have a blanket set of rules that teams in Ohio and California and Oregon and New Jersey and Florida and the Carolinas and Georgia and Alabama, all of the schools must adhere to when it comes to college sports, football primarily. All of the schools must adhere to this blanket set of rules. This is, if Dellinger's reporting is accurate, and again, he's been pretty good with all this stuff. If his reporting is accurate, this is the four power conferences saying, you know what? We do need a blanket set of rules. And we, as the four power conferences, will all sign a document together, all of our member institutions, that says, yes, the NCAA will be our governing body, will be our supreme governing body, and their rules will apply to everyone in the Power Four conferences, so we're all under a blanket. We're all in the same bed together. We all must follow the same rules. That's good. That's a good thing. Do I think even if it is signed and passed today that it is going to stand as official? No. I think by the end of the day, if nobody else, the state body of Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, would bring that to one of the higher level federal courts and say, we aren't good with this, and have a federal judge step down. And depending on the political leanings of the judge, the business leanings of the judge, the background of the judge, whatever, they may straight up go, yeah, no, that document holds no weight. You cannot make Tennessee schools go against the Tennessee state law. Figure something else out. In which case, nothing changes. But if nobody challenges it and everybody's on board with it, here's your blanket law that everybody would lay under together and level the field, even if it's at a higher level than we like for the smaller power schools. We'll talk more about this later on in the radio program. Right now, you're all going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the soothing sounds and pleasant sensations of Lonzo Sports Flash.
And now for something simple that doesn't require brain power. Let's talk about Atlanta Braves. Spencer Strider is off of the injured list and will return to the pitching rotation today. He's expected to start against the Nationals on the road this evening. Strider has thrown one game this year, allowing two runs on five hits against the Blue Jays, but strained his hamstring, sending him back to the IL. But now he's back. The Carolina Hurricanes will open the Eastern Conference Finals of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight against the Florida Panthers. Carolina will host the series opening with games one and two in Raleigh. The Hurricanes are a slight favorite in the series. Green Bay Packers have revised their proposal to ban the tush push made infamous by the Philadelphia Eagles. Under the new rule proposal, offensive players would not be able to provide any assistance to a ball carrier with the exception of blocking the opponents, which is how it should be. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show is next, right here on The Fan Upstate.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And That is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.